It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
What's up, Kings fans? If you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, it's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcast, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor, it's totally free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
This is for you, Kings fans, wherever you may be. All the frustration and disappointment of the past is gone. The 45-year drought is over. The Los Angeles Kings are indeed the Kings of the National Hockey League. They are the 2012 Stanley Cup champions.
Cleared away by the Kings, picked up by Martinez. Martinez to Clifford, feet to the right side to Foley with a shot. Save, rebound, score! Alec Martinez has won the Stanley Cup for the Los Angeles Kings, and royalty reigns again in the NHL.
Hey, what's up, Kings fans, and welcome to episode number 17 of the Hockey Royalty Podcast, the unofficial podcast on freakroyalty.com. I'm Scott Kidville, and as always, before we get going, I want to let you know you can find us on social media. You can find us at Twitter at royalty_pod and also at Rink Royalty, and you can now find us on Facebook and Instagram as well. So we got a very special guest lined up for you for this episode. Before we get going, I want to bring in our esteemed panel. But first, we're going to bring in Mr. Ryan Sykes. What's going on, Ryan?
Hey, Scott. Doing well tonight. Excited for tonight's podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So am I. And up next, we got Mr. Ryan Cowley. What's up, Ryan?
Not too much, Scott. It's been a few episodes since I've been here. But you know what? Especially Marco on. I'm very excited to be here. So,
well, you know, we've missed you, and we're glad that you're back.
Absolutely.
No. I'm sorry. When you say we miss you and I'm glad, I'm like, you're glad I was gone?
No, I said, glad you're back.
Yeah, I know. You have a conclusion there.
Yeah.
Oh, and perhaps joining us later on will be Jack Weber. We're going to see if he jumps in. We'll let you know if he does, or I'm sure he'll make his presence known as well. But anyways, without further ado, I want to bring in our guest for tonight. All you Kings fans will definitely know this gentleman. He is the assistant coach of our LA Kings, the one and the only Mr. Marco Stern. What's going on, Marco? Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. This is a great, great treat. We appreciate it. So how's it going out there?
Doing really good. No, I think it's the fun time begins now, right? You're kind of pushing for the playoffs. You kind of getting to the end of the season. So that should be the fun time. So hopefully we're going to play good as well.
So Marco, I just want to jump right to it. You know, you're drafted 21st overall in the 1996 NHL draft. Can you kind of just walk us through what the draft process was like for you being drafted by the Sharks?
It was kind of interesting for me because, you know, obviously I'm from Germany, so I never really had an agent too. So my dad did everything for me. I played 2 years pro prior to the draft, and right, I would say, few months before the draft, I hired an agent, Larry Kelly out of Ottawa, and you know, he set up, I think, 10 interviews in St. Louis at the draft. So that's, everything was new for me. I think we all thought I'm going to go second round. I know I had a lot of interviews, especially with San Jose before. So I was hoping for San Jose because they were the number two pick in the second round as well. But then they made the big trade, 21st pick with Chicago, and they picked me. So it was a pleasant surprise, and it was a great experience and something. You know, I took my dad and my brother-in-law to the trip as well. That's something we still talk about today, you know, about that kind of the trip and how much fun we had too.
And I imagine they didn't have Zoom back then for your interviews.
Exactly. No Zoom. I don't even know if they had cell phones, but no, it was, you know, it was really good. It was really fun. It came out of nowhere. Here's me. German kid drafted in the first round, going to San Jose. Dream came through in very fast. That's for sure.
It's kind of rare that I guess players get drafted by the team that they're hoping for. And I know you recently did an interview with our own Ryan Cowley here, but you know, how much did an impact did the Sharks have on you personally and as far as the franchise itself in terms of preparing you for life in the NHL?
I think I mentioned it to Ryan too. I couldn't pick a better place than San Jose. Not just the city, the organization, everything fit perfectly. I was one of the young guys with Patty Marleau. The rest were all the guys. So we learned a lot from them. I had Daryl Sutter. This is probably the best thing what could happen for a young kid, because he's going to teach you right away and how to play the game the right way without cheating. So that was all set. I had Dean Lombardi as a GM who didn't send me pretty much in the minors. He kind of kept me in and believed in me. And then we got the Shark Tank, the fans, you know, everything around the city. You know, you could tell it's there was a little bit of boom there. You know, the Sharks were getting better each year, getting louder around the city. Hockey was all of a sudden the go-to event in the Bay Area. So, like I said, a lot of things happened, and I was fortunate to came in, and I think in the right time as well.
So that plays the Shark Tank. That is as loud as it seems on TV then, right?
Yeah. It is. And it's special. You know, it's smaller than some of the other rinks. There's not too many suites, and you can just feel it. More people. It's loud. As a player, you love it, right? Now, as an opponent, like, I hate it. So I hate to go to San Jose. It's hard to play against. It is a hard building to play against.
It's funny because, like, the first time I went to the Shark game, Shark Tank rather, for a game, I was actually in LA visiting some friends a few years ago, and the Kings were in Anaheim, and I wanted to go there, but my friends, we drove up San Jose because the Sharks were playing the Jets and they were big West Side Story fans, so they wanted to go to a game with the Sharks.
I don't blame them.
Really? Okay. Well, teach their own, but I thought it was kind of lame. Okay. But Mark, okay.
Marco, did you have any personal kind of thoughts on Patty Marleau eclipsing the record?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've been talking and texting a little bit with Patty. I still can't believe he's still playing because he's on the bench. Like, I'm stiff and sore and feel old, and this guy is still, you know, skating and flying around on the ice, and it's really incredible. Like I said, I mentioned it before. We started together in San Jose. We were roomies. We did everything together, so I'm really happy, just really happy for him. I can't believe the one thing I just can't believe, because even that time, I'm not saying this is it's a soft league now, but you know, the game was different, and yeah, it was pretty hard to play against a guy like Hatcher and all those kind of guys, Pronger, because they hit you pretty good every shift, right? They let you know, and come out with that with no injuries. Patty was never even sick too. Like I just can't believe it that he went through that many games without really any injuries, and that's incredible. But if you ever met his dad and his family, then you know why. They're just big, very hardworking farm guys. I think he has the gene, like he has the bones and the meat from his dad.
But you know, and that's the incredible thing too, is that, you know, I mean, I know there were some people that, you know, like, oh my God, it's a Gordie Howe record, right? But you know, when you think about it, I mean, when you guys were, you know, playing, and Patty still is, you're playing 82, 84 game regular seasons. Whereas back then, I think maybe the most that Gordie played in a regular season was like 68 games or something like that. So yeah, it's absolutely incredible the extra games that he had to play in a season to make this happen.
Yeah, no, and there's playoffs too. You know, don't forget about the playoffs. Like, I don't know. I really don't know how he did it. But again, I played with him. I've seen him never get hurt and never had anything, never had an issue, never had an ice bag on his body. I don't know. That just, it's great. But again, I'm very proud of him, and I'm very happy. Even like I had a chance to play with this guy. I can tell my kids now, even I tell my kids now, he, you know, I played with this guy and I roomed with him, and no, but he's a good person. He's a very good player. And if you look at, I watched the game yesterday. I mean, he can still play another 5 to 10 years. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Absolutely. Ryan's asking, Gotch had great things to say about you. How was it mentoring your countrymen?
Oh, it was good. I mean, I think, you know, getting drafted there and had some success there in San Jose, they started to draft more Germans, so that was nice to see. And you know, there's not too many Germans around the league, so anytime you're gonna have a countryman on your side or on your team, it's kind of nice. And you know, those guys who came in after me or on the end there, they're really good guys. Like I said, it's fun to speak not just English in the locker room and speak German as well, and do some stuff together outside the rink. So it was really good, and I think they liked it too, because I was there for a while. I kind of helped them to get used to the American style and also the play of, you know, the hockey on ice and off the ice. So it worked out both ways.
Because one of the reasons I'm like, as a player and as a coach, Marco, is because like, you're sort of like, kind of, what I'm saying is, before he got the NHL, Germany wasn't well represented. Like outside Uwe Krupp, it was you barely heard of any Germans. And then and then you came along, and then Marcel Gotch, like Christian Ehrhoff, and it was just like, no, and it was overall great to see, because like, I've always been a fan of German hockey. Now I'm Canadian, so after the 2018 Olympics, I cried for 3 days when they won.
No, but you're right. I mean, right before the draft, I think Uwe Krupp, I mean, obviously he scored the big goal.
Against Colorado.
You know, there was never anything on TV. Even that game, I remember I watched middle of the night. I had to pay for it. There was barely anything in the newspaper or anything like that. So most of the team's names, the logos, the players, I got out of the Nintendo, you know, or the PlayStation, all that kind of stuff.
Because I can relate to that.
You know, it was hard for me because in Germany, you know, it was all about soccer, and it was not much NHL going on. Now things change. Especially with social media now and with Leon Draisaitl and some other guys. Yeah. But that's why the draft was so special. Everything was so special about the draft, my first years, that a young German kid ever made it to the NHL. So it was a really, special time, not just for me, for my whole family and for German hockey too.
Right, of course.
Yeah, that's and you know what? I mean, German hockey just seems to be growing leaps and bounds now. And what do you attribute to most to that? I mean, it just seems to be exploding.
We had to change a lot of things. When I took over there as a national team coach, I got involved in the youth hockey as well, because I couldn't believe how we were standing still for such a long time. So that took us a lot of work, a little bit of time. The national team, I think the federation started new system, new program with the youth hockey, because we needed more kids to play that game. And with having the right results too, like the Olympics, like the World Championship, it helps growing it faster. Sure. So now you can see a little bit the result of Stützle, those kind of guys. And now that's the result of what kind of we started a little bit, 5, 6, 7 years ago. So I'm really happy to see that. And I just hope Germany is going to continue working with especially young kids to get more, good players over here.
Marco, you were traded to the Kings in December 2010. What were kind of your biggest takeaways from going from San Jose to Boston and to the Kings organization?
Yeah, it was San Jose was my dream home, right? My dream area, California. I love California, and I love the Sharks. Everything about it. And for me to get traded, it was really hard. It was really hard for me. That was maybe because it was my first trade too. I don't know, but I was crying for a while there because I didn't want to leave. It's not nothing to do with Boston, but it's just it broke my heart. But then I didn't really have time to think. I went the next morning at 6 a.m., played that night, and played with Bergeron and Brad Boyce on the side and scored that game. And all of a sudden, a new era started for me. So ended up great, because Boston is an outstanding city, first of all, with a good hockey team. They love hockey there. It's totally different than California, right? So I had a really good time there as well. Unfortunately, my injuries kind of hurt me a little bit, and then I got traded to LA, where I was probably not 100%, but I was fighting back. But I was really happy to come back to California to play there.
And you just kind of touched on it, but obviously you had two major knee surgeries in 2008, 2010. Can you kind of just touch on what your road to recovery was like? Was either one of them more challenging than the other? And I guess maybe a difficult question to ask.
Yeah.
Did you ever consider retiring?
So what happened was same injury, ACL and MCL, torn ACL and MCL, different knees. I think the first one, I did it great. I came back stronger than ever. I worked my butt off. I really, everything went well. I came back and scored another, 20 or over 20 goals. So I thought I was back playing the same way I finished. What hurt me, I think, the most was the second one. And not just my knee, my head too, because I know how hard it was to come back. I know how hard it take, how much time you had to put in, how much rehab and everything else, the pain I've been through the first one. I had to do it again, and it happened right after I was feeling actually good. So that really hit me. And and that's probably one of the reasons why I got traded. And it just takes time to recover. But I didn't have the time. So that's the challenge I had. And you mentioned, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're getting older, you have family, you have kids, and all of a sudden, okay, what happened if it doesn't work out anymore, right? Do I have to retire? You know, there's so many things what comes up then. And again, that's why I got traded a few more times, because I was not healthy. And end of the day, I retired because I just couldn't do it anymore. I was gassed out. I just put everything I had in there, but I just didn't have the time, and I couldn't recover from the second injury.
And just real quick, Scott, I know you only played 17 games here in LA, but did you kind of have a best friend on the team or someone that you developed a close friendship with?
You know what? LA was actually a special time too, because, you know, coming back from that injury, I needed a happy place. Let's put it that way. And I came to LA, and it kind of was a happy place for me, because the guys were outstanding, and some of the guys are still here, and you know, with Kopitar, Dowdy, but also Jared Stoll, and you know, Green, he was my ride to the rink. He now in development. You know, there's still guys around, but they treat me like a pro. They treat me like a veteran. They knew me very well, and maybe that's why I felt so good around them. The coach probably thought he was thinking a little bit different, but because he didn't play me that much. But team wise, the guys wise, it was really good for me. It was really it was a good place, and I couldn't really pick one guy, but you know, it was just the whole group, even Jonathan Quick. You know, guys were too. They showed so much respect when I stepped into that locker room. That's something I will never forget either, because I went to some different teams, and it's not like I wanted that way, in every team, or I needed that. No, but they just did it, and that's just the character the guys they had, and that's why I knew this team will end up winning the Stanley Cup, because of those kind of guys they had in the locker room. It happened really quickly. I never thought about that, but you just could tell, and that was kind of like my experience I had when I got traded to a few teams. I knew exactly, like, this team is for real, or this team is not.
Yeah, and that's, you know, people don't realize just how much of a daily grind that life as a player, for players especially in the NHL, can be. I mean, it really can take a lot out of you. So what were some of your biggest motivators to get into coaching?
Probably my son. Because they needed a coach in the youth hockey. I'm like, can you please come out? And I'm like, okay. So I started with one, I started with two, and then all of a sudden I'm in, right? But that was just my early stage. But when I got into the serious coaching in the pro level, national team and all that, I took a lot of things, good things, bad things about the coaches I personally really liked. And that was Daryl Sutter, and that was Claude Julien in Boston. I mean, those two guys are pretty similar. I had them the longest, but both guys were very fair to all the players. Were very direct. As a player, I always knew where I'm at, if it was good or bad, and that's something I always wanted. You know, to give my players players as well. I don't want to lie around. There's so many coaches who, you know, say different things or are not true, or they just say things. What do you want to hear?
Right.
But these two guys were just very direct, very direct. And so I learned a lot from them, like good stuff, bad stuff too. But
yeah,
me now I'm trying to, you know, put that good stuff in my daily work.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, and you know, at the end of the day too, I mean, that's actually got to be much better to have a coach that's at least upfront honest with you, you know, whether it's good or bad, because I mean, there is some things that are made about, you know, some of the old school coaches are, you know, adaptable for this day and age game and all that. You hear that, but I mean, it's still at the end of the day, you got to be upfront and honest with guys.
Yeah.
You just do.
But you want to hear something?
Sure.
You want to hear something?
Sure, go ahead.
Which country you are, which age, whatever. I think now in today's game, you can't do that anymore on like with every player.
Right.
That's right, how it changed as well. So you got to be really careful. Like Daryl Sutter didn't give a shit what he said to me, who it was, whatever. He did it with every player, right? Either you like it or not. He had no choice. And today, if people do that in our locker room, it wouldn't work out. It just wouldn't work out that way, for sure. So that shows you. And that's in Germany too, whatever. It's probably in every sport too. But that's how it changed big time.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was talking about. You know, I mean, and they pointed like guys like John Tortorella too, that, you know, sometimes he's a little direct, you know. Yeah. And
you gotta be careful, you know. Like I know George, give him credit, he sticks with it, and you know, he's a great coach. But you know, now I don't know what's going on in Columbus, but you hear more and more noises coming out of that team. So, but again, it's I think it's a different time now. It's a different approach how to handle those kind of players,
especially young players.
Especially young players. Yeah.
Marco, aside from the position being open, what made you kind of want to come back to the LA Kings as an assistant coach? After having so much success in Germany?
Well, you know, everything happened so fast with Team Germany, and I blame the Olympics because all of a sudden I felt the fire in me. I'm very competitive, just the way I played. I think that's just the way I coach too. I just want more. And that's something, it kind of was building up more and more with the national team. I had more and more success every year, end up with a silver medal. And after that, I don't know, in my mind, I knew I want to come back here in the States to coach here in the best league in the world. So that was a little bit my goal. And then all of a sudden I got the call from LA. I already talked to some other teams before that, but then LA got serious and it happened really, really quickly. And as soon as I got that call, I knew, and I think my family knew too, it's sooner or later it's going to come and I'm going to jump on it. And I know how hard it is, you know, playing this in this league. I know with coaches, I know how hard it is to get into, especially for a European guy. So I didn't want to miss that opportunity. And I'm very grateful that Rob Blake and the organization gave me that opportunity.
Of course.
What's it like working with Todd McClellan every day? You know, we see him on the Zoom calls and he's very transparent and forth in his responses. And you always know if he's in a good mood or a bad mood. I mean, just what's it kind of like on a day-to-day basis with him?
No, you know what? As a coach, it's just like, you know, in the locker room, you got to have the right guys, the right character guys as well. And, you know, even if things are not going good as well, you need good support. You need good leaders. And that's exactly what I have here. Todd's been absolutely outstanding. And the whole coaching staff, they're so experienced. Even our video coaches, it's fun for me to go to the ring every day, because these guys, I learn something every day, and also I have a lot of fun as well. Todd, you can tell he's been very experienced. He coached not just teams, he coached big guys as well, even with Kopitar, McDavid, Drysdale, even Detroit times. Like, there's a lot of stuff. Right. It's still in his game and his speeches. It's absolutely incredible. So for me to have a boss like him, I think it's very special. So I learn something every day. He brings in the energy. He's just a good head coach to work for, that's for sure.
Does he have kind of a lighter side to him when he's not in game mode or practice mode?
What's that? Sorry.
Does he have kind of a lighter side to him when there's no games or practices going on?
He does. No, he does. He's a family guy as well. We always try to meet up. I know it's hard right now with the pandemic, but we do a lot of stuff off ice as well and try to stay connected. On days where we played shitty or something like that, it takes a minute or two, but he always makes us laugh as well. So maybe you see a different Todd, like especially after games, because he needs more time, and that's even says it too. He doesn't do any video after the game because he's probably still steaming from a situation or from the game or from whatever. He wants to sleep. He doesn't sleep much, but he wants to sleep a little bit and then go back to work the next day. And that's why maybe he comes across like that.
Sure.
So, I got to ask you this. So we all know Drew Doughty loves to chirp on the ice in games. Does he chirp anybody in practice? I got to know.
It's a good question.
Oh, yeah, he does. He does. you can't stop this guy. You can't stop him.
I do it.
But I played with some guys who are not even funny, but he's pretty funny, I got to say. He makes me laugh. Thank God I have a mask on now. So
yeah, really?
You go a little bit behind the mask.
He needs his own reality show.
He used to talk all really the time. Does. He used to talk all the time. I mean, maybe that's not good either, but now he picks his... He picks the right moment too, and he's pretty good. But he has some good ones. During the games.
I'm sorry, guys. Really shameless plug. If you want to hear about great Tom McClellan stories from former Sharks, check out my 30 Sharks series on San Jose. I'm sorry I did that. I feel very dirty. I'm gonna shower.
Plug away.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
We're gonna post it right after here.
Okay, carry on.
The last but one for me.
It's actually funny because he's been in San Jose. I've been in San Jose. We have the same friends, the same people are still around. So it's really? Kind of when I talk about the San Jose, the old days.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what I'm talking about.
And, oh, nice.
So that's kind of nice.
Oh, that's awesome. Man.
And just the last question that I kind of dug up. And then I can pass it off to Scott and then we can dig into some listener questions as well. Obviously being so close to the team, who's one of the younger players on the roster that's kind of surprised you the most from day one of the season to where they are right now?
Okay. Let's start by position. Let's start by the goalie. I know he's been there last season, but Cal is, I think he's outstanding. He's going to be a really good goalie. For years to come here. He's going to be on defense. I think it's Toby Bjornfurt. I'm not sure if he... I think he was in our radar to be more like a up-and-down guy. But now he was out with a concussion for 3 weeks, and we actually missed him a lot. So that shows how we actually need him. We had Roy out too, so to lose two guys, it doesn't help. But this guy is only 20 years old, I think, and he already has a big impact in our defensive core group. Forwards, I would say, he's not the youngest kid anymore, but Trevor Moore is more as he's been. I think it's been absolutely excellent. I think we had him more as a fourth liner. But look at him now. He's actually not just scoring goals, but he does a lot of good things. Very detailed, barely gets in trouble. So he's a guy we really trust. He's a rival. It doesn't matter now. He even plays on the power play now. Who would have thought of that a year ago, right? So he came in in a good shape. It just got better every month. So I'm very, very happy to see him playing that well.
And you kind of touched on it too, but I mean, when the Kings acquired Trevor Moore, you know, I wasn't too sure of what they were going to get in him. Maybe just a fourth liner placeholder, but he's really opened my eyes this season. You said it yourself. He's been seeing time on the power play, and he's kind of moved his way up the lines. Yeah, he's been consistent this year. Very good player.
And what I like, he's a local kid.
Yeah, exactly. I guess mentioned on the broadcast, you know, every game.
And, he's a good guy. Like I really like him. It's just he's a good person. He loves to be here. Loves to be a King. And I can see him be here for a long time, being home.
It's funny, Mesh. I kind of touched on what Ryan said. It's like, when Moore was acquired, it's like, sorry, some Thousand Oaks. I'm like, okay, the local kid, that'd be nice. And don't get me wrong, I didn't have like low things, I really didn't know what to expect from him. And again, like, he's one of those guys on the Kings, like Blake Lazard and outside follower, two others, where it's like a lot of players stand out only if they score goals or get points on the board. That hasn't been the case for Moore. Like when he scores, great. In the offensive zone, in the defensive zone, he's always there, and I love it.
Yeah, I really hope, like you said, I really hope people see that. That he does a lot of good things. You always look at the Kopitars. You always look at the Iafallo, the Brown. But what happens if they're not going or they're struggling, whatever, we need someone, right, to step up. And I think Morsi has been one of the guys who really kind of stepped up. Doesn't matter if Kopi's line is or is not going or not. But he's been really good. He's like a little tank. He's been... He's been in a really good shape. He worked on his game a lot too, you could tell. And that was nice to see, to get him rewarded.
Excellent. So Marco, are you ready for some listener questions?
Yes. Bring it.
All right. So the first one's come from Richard Sarabia. He's known as Dirty Harry too. You gotta love that. I have to mention every guy. So anyways, he wants to know, how excited are you to be a part of the coaching staff, knowing the prospects coming down the pipeline are the best? And how much happier does it make you feel to see fans back in the Staples Center?
Yeah. I mean, yes, I'm very excited. I think to be patient, that's the hardest part, I think, not just for players, for coaches too. You know, down the hall, you see the young kids develop. But on the other side, we're like, we want him right now to be already a few years ahead, right? It's not always fun to be on the bottom of the standing. But we also know we are on the right track here. We just need a little bit more time. I think Todd, coaches, and the team, we do the best every day to get us. To get us there, and with Rob Blake, and hopefully we can add another few pieces in the summer to get better, and then those young kids have to come in the next year or two, whatever, and help us to get where we want to be. But again, it will take time. I'm not sure if it's next year, but I think, you know, it will come, and it's very exciting to see those young kids growing up. That's we like that part too. See fans again, see fans in our building. It was kind of weird, I gotta say. You know, we were used to now on the road because most of them had fans there anyway. But then coming or playing a game the other day at home and see actually fans in our building in LA County, that was really special as well. We miss them. You know, our team misses, especially home games. Like, they give you another push, I would say. And there have been times I think we could use our fans behind us, especially on the power play or something like that, where we need a goal or something like that. Sure. You know? So that's a good start. I think it's a good start right now, and hopefully there's more fans coming in soon.
I think there was only like 1,400 people in the stands on Tuesday, but the Kings sure act like it was a full house. You know, it's a complete domination of the Ducks.
Yeah. Not complaining.
Yeah, not complaining, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Marco, just one quick question for you. It sounds like Quentin Byfield's going to be called up here for a little bit towards the end of the season. I guess, what are you personally expecting to see from him?
I think we all got to be a little bit careful what to expect. Like, I know he's a second pick, but what we see and we, you know, in the games he played at the Reign, you know, he's a very young kid, and he also needs some time. I think he picked up his game as of late. I think he's a guy who's going to get better every month, every game. I think it really will help him when he's up with us. Preparing him, I would say, especially for next season when he comes in, having a full training camp and kind of started the season with us, I think it will really help him. But, you know, our expectation is it can't be too high. You know, if he doesn't deliver right away, we can't get frustrated. So I'm really careful. I just want him to feel very comfortable. I want him to play his game. He will get better. I think watching Anssi Kopitar every day in front of him, in practice, in games, on the bench, I will really help him. But again, don't think something gonna happen here really quickly. This kid will need some time as well. But we are really looking forward to having him here by, I think, next week.
And, you know, I think that you hit the nail right on the head there, Marco, because, I mean, especially now with, you know, the modern drafts get so hyped up, right? And people expect that every number one or number two pick is going to be like a Connor McDavid or a Jack Eichel and just going to come in and light the league on fire right away. And it's so few and far between that ever happens.
Yeah.
So
not even fair to the player, right?
Right, exactly.
Throwing him like that. And, you know, even Sidney Crosby, Joe Thornton, all those guys, their first year, they were not really good. It takes a little bit of time, you know.
Sorry, Murray, not to interrupt. But yeah, I remember Joe Thornton's year, first season. He didn't have his first goal, his first point rather, until like, God, I think it was like mid January.
Yeah. No, it's not easy. It's a hard time.
Right.
So that's why. But we want him to play the right way. I think we are very, very, and that's Todd's game. It's a very structured team, and we feel like we need our structure to have success. Yeah. So our system is the biggest thing in our game. And the longest he can play that way really quickly, he will be fine. He will be fine.
Well, guys, you know what it was with Joe? He just needed that beard.
Yes, exactly. He was clean shaven. That was a problem.
That's what it was, right? So here's another one, and it's from Richard again, too. And he wants to know whether or not his strategy, style, or tactics change depending on the skill level of the players. So I'm assuming he's talking about your coaching strategies and tactics. So,
not really. I think we, as a coach, you got to have – you have a vision, right? You have a plan. You kind of stick through it. All the rest, the skill and all that kind of stuff, it comes with it. But, you know, I think it's almost like, you know, you're working on skill and do this and do that. It's almost like too much. You know, you got to play the right way. And end of the day, it's, if you play in the NHL, it doesn't matter which team, it's about winning and losing. Right. And yes, those kids get developed a little bit different, like I did probably. But as soon as they hit the big stage, they got to deliver and they got to play the right way. And like I said, we're a very structured team. If someone can't do it, he's going to be gone. Yeah. He's going to be gone, or he's not going to play. And that's why they got to be they're not just having, you know, having good hands, but they're having, they got to have that hockey sense as well.
Right.
Well, there it is. No guarantees. You got to have a little sense of urgency.
No, you know,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So, so here's one from a fellow named Hipcheck. I love it. And he wants to know, if the drop pass entry on the power play is being stopped every time and not working, is there a plan B?
Absolutely. And there's a plan Z as well. So.
Plan Z? Nice.
All right.
Yeah. No,
I mean,
no, but to answer that question, yes, we have a plan B. We have a plan C. There's different breakouts we use. But sometimes, you know, sometimes, especially with our first unit, with Kopitar unit, they know they're going to get in. And might not happen maybe the first time or second time, but they know they're going to get in. So, you know, there's times we not want to go to plan B right away. So we kind of want to wait it out a little bit and then go to plan B if we have to. But guys are confident enough and believe in our breakouts enough to get ozone entry with no problem.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. So we got one last one here. Well, he's got a couple, but it's from a gentleman named Mark Yannetti's beard. I have got to tell you, King's Twitter has the best names ever. That's all there is to it. So one of the questions that he wants to know is, which player in the AHL has impressed you the most?
AHL? You know, watching, I mean, I think Byfield has been pretty good. Unfortunately, Madden played really well. He came out really strong, and then he got hurt, his collarbone, I think. But he was, I would say, he was one of the better forwards right away, off the gate there. So he kind of impressed me a little bit the most. I think there's another guy, I would say, Akil Thomas. I thought he needed more time, but he's actually, because of his hockey sense, his hockey IQ, and I think he's been really good so far. I think what I see.
Yeah, he's very cerebral.
Yeah,
cerebral.
Maybe. You know, I'm a coach now, so I kind of look for that. I kind of it reminds me of Morrissey. You know, you kind of need those kind of guys who barely make mistakes. They came out, you know what you get every day, every game as a coach. Guys like him. He's a good kid. I think he needs to get stronger, bigger, stronger. But he's definitely taken the right strides.
So, you know, just on a side note, I do have a question about that, too. So with the rain playing out of the Toyota Sports Center, do you get to see a lot of their practices or games, or are you mostly concentrating with the Kings? I mean, obviously,
it's a good question. It's really nice. I think last year I watched maybe 4 or 5 games total all season. They were practicing. I watched more practice. I never really watched the games, but this season I think I already watched like 15-20 games.
Oh wow.
I watched a lot of games. Even I go to the rink and watch it to Toyota and watch the game or on TV. I don't know, maybe because of those young kids, I just want to probably create my own picture as well, but we were very close. It really helps when they're next door. And also playing out of the ring. So definitely, I think all of us as coaches and organization, it helps having them and playing at the same rink.
Yeah, I can imagine that. That's for sure. So Mark Yannetti's beard wants to know.
I like that.
That's awesome, isn't it?
That's like one of the greatest names ever.
If you ever talk to Mark Yannetti beard, ask him about his beard. So if yes. If you would.
No. You know what, Marco? If you do talk to him, let me know because I want to write an article.
Oh, okay.
Just on his beard.
Yeah, just on his beard. the origin.
So other than those laughs we just had, what is the highlight of the season so far?
The highlight of the season? I don't know. I think last home game, I think having fans in a building for, I think for us, it was a bit, it was a kind of highlight. I tell you this, everything is different this season. Honestly, the traveling, being on the road, being around, always have all bunch of rules in place. It's been a very challenging year for all of us. You're not allowed to do anything. It's been really tough. So anytime there's anything, it kind of goes back to normal, like having fans again a little bit in the building for us, I think it's a highlight. You know what I mean? Because everything is so different. So every little thing where we feel like, hopefully it's going to go back to the old days, we take it as a big highlight. I think that's, I don't know, to answer your question, I think that's more like which everyone, we're starting to get back to normal. You know, having not just fans, but everything around the travel, the meetings.
Yeah,
you know, even media, the media, like, it's just part of the game, and it makes it more fun too. And it's, you know, there have been days it was not fun. And that's not because we were losing. It was because everything around. So there was so much, especially as a head coach as well for Todd. So that was not about hockey a lot of times. It was about something else. And who gives us a headache on a daily basis. So for us, you know, again, being getting back to normal, it's a highlight for us.
Yeah, and especially it's got to be tough on the road too.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, we're pretty much only in the room.
Right.
We're just allowed to go outside for a walk, and that's it. And usually the going on the road and going to good cities, that's the fun part of the game.
Yeah, exactly, well, right? So listen, I'll ask you one more, and then we'll let you get out of here. I know you probably got other things to do too. So he wants to know, what is the best and worst part of your job?
There's this winning and losing.
This is where Marco
said. Yeah, right.
That's an easy answer, right? no, for me, you know, when I was away from the game, when I retired, I missed the game. And I watched Patty Mullo the other day, and he said, "Why do you love this game?" You know, like, I don't know. He loves the game, loves going to the rink, and that's something I missed. I really, really missed. So coming to the rink every day, like I said, having the right people, having the right coaches, the right people, the characters in our team, I think that's why I love it. I do. And it doesn't matter if you win or lose. I don't know. We love the game, not just as a player, as a coach as well. What I don't like is the short nights.
Yeah, right.
We work a lot, especially on laptops and especially after games and stuff like that. So there could be nights who were really, really short, and you have to show up all prepared next day and get ready to go again.
Yeah, that's got to be tough. That has got to be tough. Well, listen, Marco, this has been great. We can't begin to tell you how much we appreciate you coming on and talking to us.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know, no, thank you very much. Guys, thanks for having me. Thanks to Ryan. I've been in contact with him for a while now. Yeah. So it was a pleasure to work with you as well.
Absolutely. And best of luck for the rest of the season. Fun. And, you know, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Marco. Go Kings.
Yeah, go Kings.
Okay, absolutely. Go Kings, go.
Have a good night, Marco.
All right.
Take care. Too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was Marco Sturm. That was awesome.
Really, I think we asked for a half hour. He almost gave us double that.
Well, we can't tell time here, so
just for listeners, for those who don't know, I'm in Toronto. I'm on the East Coast, so I'm a bit later. Just for this podcast, I decided to take a 2-hour nap before the show, so So I'm awake for this. And my wife and I just got into Teen Wolf on Netflix. So we're going to watch a few episodes of that right now. So, I don't expect anyone to care about the latter. I'm just saying.
Can well, we know, Ryan, you mentioned a 2-hour power nap.
Can we get an old Kings game for Ryan to watch, for God's sake?
Please. Come on, anyone.
Rewatch Tuesday's game.
Yes. Show me a game from 1984. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know,
yeah,
right?
That's awesome. Yes. That's awesome. You have fun with Teen Wolf, buddy.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure I will.
But... Oh, so anyways, I think we're almost at an hour already, guys. So,
wow.
I think maybe what we'll do is we're going to wrap this episode up, and then we'll have plenty more to talk about next time. Ryan, why don't you tell us about our next guest coming up and when?
Yeah, so next Tuesday, guys, for the listeners, we're going to have Matt Luff on the program. Been rescheduled like 2 or 3 times, just because he's been called up, called down. I had a personal issue as well. Life happens, right?
Yeah.
It's finally going to happen on Tuesday. We have Matt Luff on the program, so I'm excited.
Absolutely. That's going to be a real good time too. So we're looking very forward to that. And we want to take this time to thank once again, Marco Sturm, for coming on to talk to us. And we want to thank you, the listeners, for listening. So for Ryan Cowley, for Ryan Sykes, I'm Scott Kinville. Thanks for listening, and go Kings, go.